Hello everyone, and welcome to Nina's Nihongo Zone, the monthly bonus episode in which I talk about all things Japanese language. This month, I'm talking about how to use video games to practice Japanese, things to take into consideration before you begin, useful resources, recommended games, and my own experience. One piece of advice you'll hear over and over is to start engaging with typical Japanese language materials as soon as you can. Books, comics, movies, music, television, even if you start with material for kids. I've been doing more of that this past couple of years. I'm lucky enough to live in a time and a place where Japanese media is readily available, and most of it is not prohibitively expensive. I did have to specially import the game I'm playing, though. Certain games are region-locked on the Nintendo Online Store, and the game I wanted to play wasn't available for download in the US, probably because it hasn't been officially translated and localized. The game in question? Kureon Shinchan, Ora to Hakase no Natsuyasumi, Owaranai Shichinichikan no Tabi. Or, Crayon Shinchan, Me and the Doctor's Summer Vacation, Endless Week-Long Trip. But before I get into my experience playing the first few hours of the game, what's some good, general advice for practicing Japanese through video games? Pros of using video games for study include things like the visuals can help you understand what's happening even when you aren't sure you follow the text. You're more likely to stay engaged than with drier, more academic materials because it's fun and entertaining. And the associations you make between the game and new words you're learning will help you remember vocabulary. Plus, if there are voice-acted lines, you also get listening practice. When it comes to picking the right game, here are some factors to consider. 1. How much dialogue is there? Games that are low on dialogue won't give you much reading to do. Nihongo Blog cites Super Mario Bros. As an example of a game that wouldn't provide much language practice. 2. Have you played the game before? If you have, then even when you have difficulty knowing exactly what the text means, you'll still know what's happening in the story. Whereas if you haven't played it before and then run into a section you can't understand, you might get completely stuck. 3. Is the game in hiragana only, or does it include kanji? And 3a, does the game include furigana? Hiragana only is rare now. It used to be more common in older systems because they lacked the graphical fidelity to display kanji. Now, this usually only comes up in games for very young children, and you probably won't want hiragana only anyway, because once you learn some kanji, hiragana only is harder to read. Some games let you choose between hiragana only and hiragana plus kanji, for example, the Pokemon series. Furigana, which is small hiragana above a kanji, tell you how it's read and pronounced in the word in which it appears, and they are a huge help. It makes it much easier to look up unfamiliar words. Furigana are more common in newer games than older ones, but it's also worth remembering that which kanji get furigana will depend on the target age of player for a game. Games aimed at adults will have few to no furigana because adults are assumed to know how to read all those characters, and then the younger you go, the fewer kanji you'll see and the more kanji will have furigana. 4. What kind of language is used? What I mean is, a game in a high fantasy setting will have a lot of unfamiliar words, and much of the language won't be useful in day-to-day life. One source points to games like Final Fantasy XIV and gives an example of the following line from the English version. "'Tis a stain upon our ledger that I would fain remove." That kind of thing is probably pretty archaic in the original Japanese, and that much harder to read and understand. Some games that are frequently recommended include the Pokemon series, Legend of Zelda games, Ni no Kuni, the Animal Crossing games, and Persona 5. Once you start playing, keep a notebook where you write down unfamiliar words, phrases, or grammar, and can later fill in definitions and explanations. My recommendation is not to stop and look up words as you play unless they're essential to understanding what's going on. Ideally, you want to get into a flow and just enjoy the game, and figure things out contextually if there are things you don't understand. Stopping too often will make it feel much more like work and prevent that flow. After each gaming session, translate your word list, then use it for reference on following sessions. You'll see the same words and phrases come up repeatedly, which will help them stick. Make flashcards if you like. One of the sources in the show notes has a list of common terms from video games, including words related to game menus that could be very useful. So, how does Crayon Shinchan fit into some of these considerations? Well, the game involves Shinchan, a small boy, and his family visiting his mother's friend in a small town in Kyushu over summer vacation. You control Shinchan, talking to people in town, catching fish and bugs, running errands, shopping, tending a garden, and playing a trading card game with other kids. There's plenty of talking and some other text combined with narration when important plot points happen. I'll include a link to the trailer in the show notes, but the point is, there's plenty of text to read. It's also a fun combination of normal and whimsical. I don't want to spoil anything, but even if I stick to what's revealed in the trailer, there's a ninja ramen chef, a mad scientist, and dinosaurs wandering the town. The humor is punny but simple, usually based on Shinchan confusing similar-sounding words. The language is aimed at youngish kids, but I am still learning new vocab and learning new kanji. It's also beautifully designed. The contrast between the rough and simple character design and the highly detailed backdrops is part of the fun for me, and the music and sound design is very enjoyable. In terms of stumbling blocks, there is one quest that I have no idea how to complete because I didn't really understand the explanation from the character who gave it to me. And I'm fairly certain there's no way to save the game except for when it prompts you at the end of each in-game day. But if there is a way to do it, I haven't found it yet. Neither of these is preventing me from enjoying the game, though. All in all, it's a great time. That's a wrap on this month. Apologies for the slight delay. Things were a bit hectic with the Season 4 kickoff. Have you tried playing any games in Japanese? If you have games you'd recommend, games you'd warn people away from, questions or other thoughts, leave a comment below. Don't forget, if you have an idea for a Nina's Nihongo Zone topic or a question you'd like me to answer, you can leave a comment or email me at gundampodcast@gmail.com. The intro song is The City by The Kyoto Connection. The outro song is Brain Power by Mila. You can find links and more in the show notes, and as always, thanks for listening.